they have two people in there, not because they're trying to intimidate you, though of course they probably are, but they're trying to make sure the other one is doing the right thing at the right time based upon what you're going to say, because they know right away if you're bringing in a recorder and you're bringing in a witness that this isn't going to be the day they thought it was going to be.
Sean? There's three questions in the Zoom group chat, and they're kind of directed towards you. The first three.
Okay, let's unmute Peter.
All right. Sorry, just gotta find him here on the list. Peter should be unmuted.
Okay, thank you for all you've said, Sean and Gary, but it's not clear to me after all this discussion what one should do other than contact one of you guys and say, I've received a summons and here are the particulars and what I do, because there is no script at this point until you receive a summons, and there is no, you know, muscle memory, as Joe said, about what to do. So, I mean, what I take away from this is, not that I'm planning on getting a summons or whatever anytime soon, but I suppose nobody does. You just have to contact one of you guys and have you go in as a witness to and discuss it beforehand.
Well, let me explain, Peter. I've dealt with these all over the country, and I don't even count how many. 95% of the time, I'm not even there. I'm not a witness. But the people that contact me and say, listen, I've got a first-party IRS summons. What are we going to do about this? I go through a process with them, and it lasts a long time. It can last 8 to 12 hours. In other words, I actually conduct an interview with them as though I was an IRS agent. And if they can get by me, they can get by an IRS agent. Their witnesses that they bring in are there for two reasons. One, to have a more objective view of what's going on, because when you're the guy on the spot, you get a little subjective. So you want someone in there that has a fair idea, not necessarily all-inclusive, but an idea of what's going on, that you've talked to about what's going to happen, that can testify, if it has to be the case, to what actually happened in there, because you're going to have the thing transcribed anyway. You're going to be having a recording. But I sit down with the people that I deal with, and I say, okay, this is how it's going to go. And I provided them, many of the people I work with various transcripts, and we go through the transcripts of successful interviews with Internal Revenue agents, explaining to them why these people were successful, how they handled the IRS interview, how they handled the IRS agents. So no, you're absolutely right, Peter. That's what I was saying from the beginning, and the admonishment I gave before is, you don't go in based upon this hour and a half and handle an IRS summons. You're absolutely right. Get a hold of somebody that has done this many times. Make sure you get a hold of somebody that's done it many times, because too many times I've been brought into an IRS summons on the 11th hour. We go into court and the court says, you're absolutely right. But guess what? You're too late. 5 days in jail for contempt. So it's something that you want to deal with someone very early. It's not something that I can tell you in an hour or two, or would even attempt you to say, go in and handle it this way. You're lucky. It's not that easy. On the other hand, when you have the knowledge and you understand what's happening, you're sitting there and saying, damn it, it really is that easy.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter. Sean, there's a chat. Or Mike kind of had something to say, and then Major, any comment on that?
Okay, Mike, did I understand Sean correctly earlier? I heard him say the fifth ensures no citizen required to provide information to a government agent, but if you just plead a general protection in the Fifth Amendment, they will send you to jail. Yeah, that's pretty correct. In a general sense, yes. You're not required to provide information to the government, give testimony or documentation. However, contrary to what you heard from Lois Lerner, it doesn't say you don't have the ability, according to the Supreme Court, to go and say, hey, listen, I'm pleading the Fifth Amendment. I'm not even talking to you guys. That's a ticket to jail, at least when it comes to the IRS. The court will not entertain that. So you have to go in, you have to exercise that constitutionally protected right in the proper manner that the courts have described to us. And once you do that, it's like roping a cow at a rodeo. You throw the rope, you tie the knot, it's over.
And some of the, don't some of the agents, if they're not doing it purposely, their responses can make somebody maybe misstep and do a blanket. Like they'll say, if you take the fifth to 3, 4, 5 questions, and then the agent says, are you going to answer this way to every question? You definitely don't want to say, yes, I am, right? You want to say, well, no, I won't. I mean, you need to ask me the questions, and then I can decide how to answer.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And they will do that. And they don't do that accidentally. they've read some of these cases too. They've been trained too. And so anytime you ask, if they ask you a general question like that, are you going to take the Fifth Amendment to every question? You tell them, I don't know. I can't possibly answer that. You ask a question, I'll deal with it. I may answer it some other way. I won't know until you ask it. But here's another thing too that's happened, and I think it was a Garner versus United States, I have to go back and look, where the IRS agent insisted through the entire interview that the target answer the questions generally. He would ask general questions, he wouldn't ask specific questions, and the target just answered them back generally. The Department of Justice, when he complained, he said, well, he just gave general answers. And the court said, yeah, well, they just asked general questions. So IRS, you're out of here. But again, you're walking a narrow road there. So that's why, as Joe said, you want to pin them down. When they ask you a general question, say, you know, if they say, well, where do you keep your bank accounts? My question to them is, well, which one are you talking about? You ask me about a bank, if I have an account there, I'll tell you one way or the other, I'll respond appropriately. What bank are you talking about?
And I would hope you believe me that I wasn't like one of these agents, but the agents do, they have their desire for how they like to manipulate you and get what they want out of you. And if they got to go to one big brother, it's a DOJ, or another big brother judge, they'll do it in a heartbeat. Anything to rile you, to make your life miserable, they'll do it. I mean, and that's generally their dance card. That's what they're about. So you don't want to give them any excuse, because there's nothing more gratifying than stumping an IRS agent. So
no, and you're right. You're right, Joe. It's their dance card. The trick is that you know the dance. I mean, the two-step is really easy if you know the two-step. The twist is easy if you know the twist. I mean, whatever the dance is, but you have to know the dance. Believe me, that IRS agent in a summons proceeding, he's not your ordinary agent. This guy's been doing this for a while. He knows what he's doing. All you have to know is you know what he's doing and you know what you're doing, and it doesn't last long. In fact, I'll tell you what, I've seen some of them get downright personal. When they get personal, they know they've been beat, and they get angry about it, and that's what makes their court case usually go a bad way. So by the time United States Attorney gets hold of it, they're sitting there thinking, I'm not taking this transcript to a court.
Yeah, get the agent to, you know, make the missteps.
Yeah, when they take it personal, you know you've got to beat.
Mm-hmm. Any comment, Gary?
I've never had too many problems with interacting with a IRS agent because, you know, my focus, and as you know very well, is to engage in a dialogue, not a situation where you're being under some lamp. It's more like these are my facts. This is the laws that I relied on, and I'd like for you to answer. So most of it is an administrative audit examination, the precursor to a notice of deficiency, and really over the past 10 years, you know, there's been a lot of success resolving issues without these the summons. I mean, I think I've only been involved in one situation where the gentleman received the 2039 summons, and that was because it was before, you know, he and I started working together. But I avoid any kind of situation where you're going to have to stand in front of a judge and face being thrown in jail because, you know, some, you know, poorly trained IRS agent who's arrogant or well-trained IRS agent who is arrogantly ignorant. We can't really prejudge exactly how it's going to go, but we can certainly, you know, go in prepared with, you know, your facts and what laws you relied on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what, I agree with Gary on that too, that there's ways to avoid this so it never happens, but I'll tell you what, not everybody thinks that way. Well, a lot of people out there saying, I'm not required to talk to you in any way, shape, or form, and you're I'm asking. Not going to. And that's when these summonses start flying, and they'll fly. And we're not in, tonight I was exclusive on first-party summonses. We haven't even gotten into third-party summonses where you don't even have to talk to the agent, and they'll issue those third-party summonses.
Yeah, and the only thing I could really add to that, Sean, and you're right on the point, is there was a gentleman who was listening to these gurus. You know, there was, I call it Guru Gaga. This guy says, you know, if the IRS knocks on your door, you call me right away. And so, you know, the IRS agent was just knocking on the door saying, hey, we'd like to sit down and talk with you. And so he gets on the phone and calls this guy. And this guy says, you know, tell him you're not going to, you know, and go hide your books. And I mean, it was just, you know, chaos.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Gary, they are out there. I've seen it. Well, like I said, I have so many files on IRS summonses, third and first parties, that it's just crazy. And yeah, you're right. They're acting on bad advice. But once they get it and they act, boom.
And the long and the short of it was, is that the guy ended up being indicted, and the revenue agent that had tried to just talk with the guy got on the stand and said, you know, I heard him talking to some ass clown, pardon my French, on the phone, and this guy was giving him bad advice, telling me, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And the guy was just listening to it as if, you know, that he was a puppet he was just mouthing all this stuff back off to this revenue agent. At the end of the day, they indicted him, and all this guy wanted to do was to handle it administratively. So sometimes, you know, being, you know, hard-headed, you know, stugazzo, as they say in Italian, is when you, if you just, you know, just approach him as, hey, you're a human being, look at Joe Bannister, you know, that I try to look at every IRS agent as a potential Joe Bannister. And if I can engage into a dialogue with somebody who's willing to listen, I think I could be persuasive. Personally. So that's my point.
They don't get near as mad. Think of the cops out there that, you know, they talk about, you tell your kids, you better watch out, or, you know, cops going to try to give you an attitude adjustment.
Well, the thing is, too, is when they go into enforcement, they're not real inclined to listen much. I found that out. As long as they're in the administrative and you're discussing various aspects of a lot of responses to their letters or whatever the case may be, or tax court or CPH, that's great. But when these guys go into enforcement, they're deadly serious.
Yeah. Well, let's just put it out there. If anybody else wants to be unmuted, there's not a whole lot of chat activity that's gone on. So maybe we'll get close to wrapping this up, but just put the invitation out there. If anyone would like to be unmuted to ask a question relating to the summonses or, you know, whatever topic you might, I'll give you a few minutes. Let's just make sure everybody's aware. So that we kind of go through this also because of people who will watch this video in the future. So Sean's website, seanoconnor.org. Oops, sorry, I gotta make sure I'm sharing this. Apologize. Sean's website, seanoconnor.org, or Free Enterprise Society Services.org, and Larry's website. Go to a start page search engine like that, type in BCraft Briefs, and it'll take you to Larry's website. Gary can be reached by email, very short and sweet email address, gary@npn.net. That's Nancy Paul Nancy. .net. And my website is agentfortruth.com. Keep in mind that at the radio show menu item, I have the link to join the live show each Wednesday, or hopefully sometimes on Tuesday nights. I'll post the link. It's right here under the live show area. And then below, once I've been able to upload archive shows, I put them up here. So just wanted to point that out to everybody. Meanwhile, looks like Mark might want to make a comment. Mike had to bow out, so let's see. I read Mark right. Let's see if I can get Mark up here and unmuted. Wow, it's terrible when you can't get enough real estate on your computer screen. There we go. Sorry about that.
Mark is welcome to comment. Go ahead.
Okay, Mark is unmuted.
Oh, hi. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Oh, I'm glad you can hear me. What I'm hearing is gut-wrenching. It's quite upsetting, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. And I'm a veteran at this. I've been at it for about 20 years now. And I can share the feelings of being before summons and agents and having to deal with them. I've been with several people and I've seen what's going on. But the comment I wanted to make is that it doesn't seem to me, since this has been going on for so many decades now, I think we're dealing with an organization that has been turned criminal by the heads, that the writings, the styles, that this is something that's unfathomable, unconscionable, something that we should not get into the mindset. I don't think we should get in the mindset where we say, well, we got to train because these guys can come after us. What if we should just squash these bugs? We are not here to train ourselves to avoid the boot. I think that we look at this from a not the wrong perspective, but we've been conditioned and trained, mentally trained, that these guys are thugs with weapons, and they can harm us, and we better do what they say. Well, my last session that I went to, I was a witness, and at some point, I asked the question of these three IRS agents in this scenario. And I said, excuse me, gentlemen, I'm a witness here, but I'm not sure I understand what is being said. May I ask a question? Well, sure. They looked at each other, the witness asking a question. Yeah, because I want to know how to memorize what's going on here. You guys, you're government, right? Yes. Okay, good. I said, well, I think that it is my understanding that the only function for people in government is to protect life, liberty, and property of the people. And I'm seeing what I'm hearing here as a witness, you're questioning this gentleman that I'm witnessing for, is you're kind of taking the position that he has to prove a negative. Is that correct? And there was silence. I said, well, why are you asking that? Because I said, I don't understand. I haven't seen you making a claim. You seem to take the position, like the agent that's controlling the questioning here, seems to take the position that I'm not going to say names, but the gentleman I was with, that he has to prove he doesn't owe. But I haven't seen a statement that he does owe. And it seems to me like you guys are waiting for him to say something or to entrap him into making a mistake or saying something that you guys can use against him. And I don't think that's right. I mean, you're here to protect his rights, liberty, and property, right? I don't think this is not an inquisition here, and I'm sure it's upsetting me. And they said, we hear you, but no, he doesn't have to prove a negative, but thus far I haven't heard anything to convince me that he doesn't owe, or I haven't, well, but that's again, as a witness, I need to understand what it is you're saying. Does he have to prove anything to you that you have not mentioned that there's a claim against him of some sort, or he has some kind of an obligation? I haven't heard any like that, and that would be my testimony. Well, okay, we'll take that under advisement. We'll see whatever. So it's getting late. Why don't we try to wrap this up? Because, you're our last customer here. And we will address some of these issues. And within 3 minutes, we were out of there. What went on, Joe? That's a question for you. What do you think happened? What did I ask? Why did that work?
I'm a little surprised that they let you talk at all, because I mean, there were times when they didn't want to hear anybody, probably for the reason that the successful reason or success that you had, that anybody else that injects some reason or reasonableness into the proceeding, it kind of burst their bubble. So the fact that I presume you had that recorded, so it basically, it just kind of bursts their bubble. They can't do the intimidation. I mean, they still could. They could say, hey, guy, buddy, you shut your mouth. And, they could play that. But apparently you had people that were a little more reasonable and calm. And so you probably just kind of burst their bubble, because they knew you knew what the score was. And I'm sure that the target of their summons was also like listening to you and taking it in. So I think you really just, you've kind of burst their bubble. You took away their thunder. And so they figured they weren't going to get anything anyway, so they just shut it down.
Was that at a summons hearing, Mark?
Yes. Yeah. And they put this gentleman, they acted as if he had to jump through these fiery hoops and try to, as a matter of fact, I don't know if she's on the call, but, someone else was on the call with me, and she's part of this group at some point, sometimes. But anyway, it was very interesting. And I think that we take the approach that these guys have the right to act this way. And when I did the research trying to see whether or not they are an agency of the government, they're actually a bureau. So to me, they're like a non-governmental organization that contracts with the government to collect some money and trip people and entrap people into some whatever administrative process by which they can entangle them and extort some money administratively through some legal scheme of some sort. Because when you ask them questions, they take the position that we don't have to. And unless you write directly to the commissioner, they're not going to bow down. So I've taken the approach of writing directly to the commissioner and saying, hey, it looks like these agents here are attempting to entrap, something like that, or various wording. I don't offer services to anybody. I'm just letting you know what the approach I've taken. And they seem to calm down, because now you have a correspondence to the commissioner exposing what it is they're doing, exposing how the lien was falsely filed with the county without penalties of perjury signature by the agent, without agent's name on file with the county, and how it gets moved from notice of lien to an actual lien, which becomes a securities fraud. And you put all that information and you report them to the commissioner. And what's he going to do about it? And if the commissioner does not respond, you report the commissioner to the chief counsel of the IRS. What's he going to do about it? And I'm getting ready to now report these gentlemen higher up to the Treasury, Secretary of the Treasury, to the, bar, and to President. I can only do so much. I cannot stand this abuse of rights. I mean, I am well aware of West Virginia Board of Education versus Barnett. One's rights to life, liberty, and property and other fundamental rights may not be submitted to vote. They depend on the outcome of no election. That tells me the IRS has no law out there. There's Congress never passed a law making the average American liable subject or creating an obligation for us to give our property or giving any organization the right to reach into our pockets without our consent. Only indirectly, maybe, but that is through, constitutional laws, apportionments, and...
Well, once again, the gentleman from Romania that sought refuge in the land of the free and the home of the brave has schooled us on a really great attitude and a way to handle a situation like that. So I certainly commend Mark, and I know all of us do. We're just about at an hour and a half mark, so I think we're going to have to wrap it up about there. I guess quickly, Mr. Engel asked how long ago that happened, Mark.
I would say about 6 years ago, that particular instance. Yeah.
Very good. Well, we'd like to again thank everyone for staying with us every Wednesday, and we hope you're enjoying the information. And I'm going to try to upload a whole bunch of more archive shows to kind of try to catch up in that department. So with that said, Gary, any last words? Gary's muted.
Oh, excuse me. I just want to thank everybody for attending and invite more people, and let's build a bigger group and become proactive.
Very good. Sean?
Yeah, I just want to make a comment that this discussion tonight wasn't to validate what the IRS was doing. It was to explain what they do and the power that they do have. I was in Sacramento once before a federal district court judge. I actually wasn't there before him, but someone I knew was. And he gave up, and he got up and he gave the judge a great dissertation on jurisdiction, how the IRS didn't have any, and how the court didn't have any because the IRS didn't have any. Judge was actually quite respectful, and he really was. And he said, okay. So I understand what you're saying. He said, you see that marshal over there? Yeah. See his gun? Yeah. You got any more questions about jurisdiction? Now, that's not jurisdiction, folks. That's raw power. That's what the IRS is talking about. They don't care about their jurisdiction. They don't care about what they can and can't do. They care about what they think they can get away with, just like Mark represented. So keep in mind, we got a big fight ahead of us.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.